This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today we're going to be speaking about a very important act of worship, a solution to any problem that we might have in our lives. All of us are familiar with its virtues. It was the way of the righteous before us. Few of us do it, and few of us know people who do it regularly. And we're all aware of how great it is, but few of us know people in our lives that do this act of worship regularly. And it was also one of the great lessons and one of the lessons and habits we were supposed to pick up during the month of Ramadan. Our khutbah today is about Qiyamul Layl, also known as At-Tahajjud, from Hujud, which means to leave or to stop. And in this case it means you're leaving your bed for the sake of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night. And the purpose behind this khutbah is that it was a lesson we were supposed to learn in Ramadan. And even though we know it, it is a very rare act of worship. Yani to find someone who does it on a regular basis. But what is also amazing is that we know and we've had family members, grandparents, who used to do it regularly, and we wouldn't consider them today to be like imams or students of knowledge or mashayikh or huffaz of the Quran, but it was a regular part of their day. Like, how is it that so many people remember their grandparents being regularly making qiyam, and then in our generation is like almost disappeared. We can barely think of someone who can do it, who does it regularly. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the praiseworthy characteristics of the believers in the Quran, He almost always mentions their qiyam, their night prayer. In Surah Al-Sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That their sides, their junub, their sides, they forsake their beds. And they're calling upon their Lord out of hope, fear and hope, خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, out of fear and hope, and they give from what we, or they spend from what we provided for them. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah Azza wa Jal says, from describing the righteous acts and the good descriptions of the believers, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And those who spend their night for their Lord, how? سُجَّدًا, in sujood, in prostration, وَقِيَامًا, in standing. So that means they're in night prayer. In Surah Al-Dariyat, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. They used to sleep little in the night, and in the early morning you find them still making istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Even though they spent the night asking forgiveness, in the morning you still find them asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, he said, أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ. The best prayer after the five obligatory prayers, the farida prayers, the fard prayers, would be the night prayer. And as At-Tirmidhi narrated, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it sound so easy. And this hadith is amazing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ, spread the salam, greet one another. That's all it means. Greet one another. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ, and feed one another. And it doesn't mean just feed the poor, just feed each other. The poor, the wealthy, take each other out to eat, يعني invite each other over for food. Just that simple act. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. And then pray at night, while most of the people, most of the creation is asleep, تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. You enter al-jannah in peace, يعني you enter al-jannah easily with no difficulty. So this hadith is interesting, because Qiyam al-Layl is not easy. We will look at the examples of the righteous. They used to struggle for Qiyam al-Layl. The great scholar Al-Hasan al-Basri, he used to say, we don't know anything in Islam that is more difficult than Mukabadat al-Layl wa Nafaqat hadha al-Mal. We don't know anything in Islam that's more difficult than struggling against the night. He means night prayer and spending of wealth. These are the two most difficult things he's saying. So the Prophet ﷺ, he put this very difficult thing with two incredibly easy things. Giving salam, who is not capable of that? And feeding one another. So why mix two easy things with something difficult? And it's as if to say it's possible, it's attainable. Just like you can give salam easily, and just like you can feed each other easily, you can also do this last one. So I'm not putting an impossible thing with two possible things. They're all doable, they're all attainable. And the other thing is, like, it's saying it's for everybody. Just like any Muslim, religious, not student of knowledge, or not hafiz of the Quran, or not, they give salam to each other, they feed one another. It's also for everybody, it's open to anyone. That's also another thing in people's minds, that qiyam is just for this certain level of people. Qiyam is for everybody. So it is doable. And the righteous before us used to do it. That was their way. And not only that, but even children used to do it. One of the eyewitnesses said, كُنْتُ أَرَى أَحْمَدْ بْنُ حَنْبَلْ يُحْيِي اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ غُلَامٌ. A ghulam is anywhere from 9 to 11 years old. He said, Ahmad ibn Hanbal used to pray the night prayer while he was a ghulam. 9-year-old or 10-year-old. It's possible. One of the righteous Muslims, his name was Al-Hasan ibn Salih. And he had a jariya, and again jariya would be a young girl. And he sold her off to a family, and when it was the last hour of the night, she woke up. And she started to wake everybody up. This is her first night with this family. She said, أيها الناس, الصلاة, الصلاة. So they got up confused. They said, الصلاة, أطلع على الفجر. Is it فجر already? This little girl was shocked at them. She said, وَمَا تُصَلُّونَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. You only pray the obligatory prayers. And this little girl was shocked that this family only prays Fajr. Only prays Fajr. That was shocking to her. So she went back to him the next day. She said, بِعْتَنِي مِنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُصَلُّونَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. You told me to a people that only sell the obligatory prayers. She said, رُدَّنِي فَرَدَّهَا. She took me back and he took her back. So the point is to say that it is doable. Children would do it regularly. Like, it's not impossible for us to be able to do it. It just requires effort. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim that إِنَّ فِي اللَّيْلِ لَسَاعَةً, that indeed in the night is an hour. لَا يُوَفِقُهَا رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ خَيْرًا مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, that there is not a Muslim man, and of course in this case it means a woman as well, who coincides this hour, this point in time, and they're asking Allah from the good of this world or the next, except that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give it to them. Yani, knowing something like this, and there is not one of us, except we have problems, we have a list of issues and affairs, we need solutions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His greatness and in His magnificence descends to the lower, to the worldly heavens. And He asked three questions. هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأَعْطِيَهُ. يعني, is there anyone who is asking so that I may give them? هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأَعْطِيَهُ. And هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ فَأَسْتَجِبْ لَهُ. Is there anyone asking? So the first is, anyone making any request? Is there anyone supplicating so that I may respond to him? هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Is there anyone asking for repentance so that I may forgive him? But what's interesting is this happens every night in the last third of the night. And people, we have problems, we have calamities in our lives. And then we stay up at night thinking, whom can we go to help us with this problem? And then we sleep through these questions. And then we wake up in the morning and go to a human being to help us with the problem. The way of the righteous is that they had this special time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they would speak to Allah azza wa jal, where they would ask for forgiveness, where they would complain about their problems and ask for solutions. Aisha says in Sahih Bukhari Muslim, she mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray until his feet would become swollen. So she asked him, why do you do that? And Allah has forgiven your past and your future sins. Why do you still pray hours like that? And his answer was, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. If that's the case, then would I not be a thankful servant? If this is the one whose past and future sins are forgiven, and he prays this much until his feet become swollen, then what should we be doing? And what's stopping us from praying? Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would begin the night prayer with 4 rak'at. She said, فَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ. She said, don't even ask about how excellent they were and how long they were. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, he was one of the great scholars from the Tabi'een. Ata asked Aisha, he said, I asked Aisha, tell me the most awe-inspiring thing you've seen from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But look, before she goes into the story, the first thing she said, and what of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not awe-inspiring? Yani, everything he did was amazing. She said, one night I was in my bed, and then the Prophet ﷺ came in the same cover, under the same cover with me. And then after a little bit, he said, Darini ata'abbud li Rabbi. He said, let me go and worship my Lord. And I told him that I love that when you're close to me, but I also love what makes you happy. So, yani, go and pray. She said, the Prophet ﷺ got up and made wudu, and then he said, Allahu Akbar, and started praying. And then he recited and prayed and cried until the tears wet his beard, and then the tears wet his chest. Then he went into ruku' and he cried. Then he went into sujood and he cried. Then he sat back from sujood and he cried. And he continued upon that until Bilal made the adhan for Fajr prayer. This was the case of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is stopping us? What is in our life that is preventing us from making the qiyam regularly, even though we're in dire need of it? One of the interesting things is that in these examples, the prayer was long, but the scholars mentioned that it does not need to be long. Aisha radiallahu anha once spent the night reciting one verse of the Quran, the same verse, repeating it over and over and over for most of the night. Also, in Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah narrates that the Prophet ﷺ, in this narration, mentioned that when you begin, you start with two light raka'at. They don't have to all be incredibly long. If you don't memorize, you can hold the Mus'haf and recite from it. It can be just half an hour. It can be 15 minutes, 20 minutes before Fajr. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, he narrates himself. He says that when he was a young man, he said, I was young, I was unmarried, and I was poor. And he would often sleep in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said one day he saw a dream, and the dream was where two angels came and they took him, and then he saw the hellfire and it was built up like a well, and he said, and I saw people in it and I recognized them and I became scared and I said, A'udhu billahi min an-nar. And then the angels told him that you will not be caused to experience fear. And then I woke up. He said, I went to the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and after Fajr, he would explain, interpret dreams for people, but being young, he didn't find a way to ask, he wasn't able. He said, so I went to the house of Hafsa, that's his sister, and the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I told her this dream, and I said, when the Prophet ﷺ comes, get the explanation from him. So when the Prophet ﷺ came and Hafsa told him the dream, the Prophet ﷺ answered it by just saying eight words or something like that. He said, Ni'ma ar-rajul Abdullah law kana yusalli min al-layl. He said, what an excellent man Abdullah would be if he just prayed from the night. But look at the impact of these eight words. Abdullah ibn Umar was 14 years old, and he started praying the night from age 14, and he died at age 100. Nafi' al-Daylami, who is the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar, one of the great scholars of the Tabi'een. Abdullah ibn Umar died at age 100, and he said he became blind and weak towards the end of his life. And he would pray two rak'at, and then he would have some water next to him, and he would wet his face. He would energize himself, and he would keep going. He never quit. Eight words from age 14 until age 100. The point of this khutbah is to say, it is possible, it is doable, it has happened, we're in need of it, we just need to put effort, we just need to struggle. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah عز وجل for his forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for his forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So we just want to look at two possible reasons why someone would be prevented from the night prayer. The first thing is that we need to really struggle, really work hard to become from the people of Qiyam. This is one of the early Muslims, Thabit al-Bunani rahimahullah. He said, I struggled for 20 years to become from the people of Qiyam. Yeah, first, this is before alarm clocks. So you have to fall asleep and sense and figure out the last third and wake up by yourself without an alarm clock, without anything else. He said, for 20 years, bas wallahi, what a hero. 20 years he struggled. Look at the sincerity. Look at the tenacity. And if someone tries today for 1 week, say, inshallah, I'm not from the people of Qiyam. Inshallah, there's fasting and sadaqah. I'll move on to some other field. This man, 20 years, but 2 years you didn't quit, 7 years you didn't quit, 12 years you haven't quit, 17 years you haven't quit, 20 years he kept trying every single night without an alarm clock to wake up for Qiyam. And he never quit. And then he says, then talazzathtu bihi 20 aman. And then after that, for 20 years I was able to enjoy it. تَلَذَّذْتُ, and it's like to appreciate and enjoy it like that for 20 years. But it takes struggling. Families would work together on this. A man said, I spent 7 nights with Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. He said he would wake and pray one third. Then his wife would wake up and pray another third. Then the servant would wake up and pray another third. That whole family finished the Quran every night, just like that, in group, in thirds. And part of struggling is assisting one another. That's why we have that famous hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, Barakallahu fi rajulin. Allah blesses a man who gets up in the night and prays. And then he wakes up his wife. And if she refuses to wake up, he sprinkles a little bit of water on her face. And Allah blesses a woman who gets up in the night and prays. And then she wakes up her husband. And if he refuses, she sprinkles water on his face. Yani people are working together to try to make this possible. Families working together until it becomes a habit. Some of the scholars mentioned that speaking to Allah in the last hour of the night, this is a great privilege. And that if you have too many sins, you can be prevented from this privilege. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, he used to say, rahimahullah, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَىٰ قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ. He's saying, وَصِيَامِ النَّهَارِ فَعَلَمْ أَنَّكَ مَحْرُومٌ وَقَدْ كَثُرَتْ خَطِيئَتُكَ. He's saying that if you're not able to spend the night in Qiyam and then fast during the day, that means Allah prevented you from something. And it's a privilege and Allah's not giving it to you because your sins are too many. And there are other similar statements from Qatada and Hassan al-Basri and others. The point is that it takes struggling, it takes effort until it becomes possible. But if it's not, if you're not regularly one of the people of Qiyam, then it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Some people just do it on the weekends if they're capable. Some people do it on their days off. Some people on specific nights. Whatever you're able to do. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَرْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَرْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم اجعلنا من أغنى خلقك بك ومن أفقر عبادك إليك. اللهم املأ قلوبنا حبا لك وخوفا منك ورجاء فيك. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا إلى أحد من خلقك. اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القيام وتقبل منا الصيام. اللهم اصلح أمور المسلمين في فلسطين وفي السودان وفي اليمن، وأبرم لأمة الإسلام أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.